श्रीमद्भागवतम 1943 सूत उवाच कृष्ण एवं भगवती मनोवाग दृष्टिवृत्तिभि आत्मन्यात्मानम आवेश्य स्वअन्तःश्वास उपारमत।
दिस इज द वर्स व्हिच शिफ्ट द नरेशनल फोकस फ्रॉम भीष्म टू सूत गोस्वामी। Bhishma has concluded his prayers to Krishna on his arrow deathbed and has fallen silent forever. And continuing the narrative, Suta Goswami speaks here, Krishna evam Bhagavati Krishna. And to that, Lord Krishna, who is the Supreme, Manovag Drishti Vrittibhi. He offered his mind, his speech, his vision, Atmanya Atmanam Avesha. And his own self, he offered thus Atmanam. So unto that Supreme, his own self, Atmanam Atmanya. Unto the Supreme, he offered Avesha. Entered into or offered himself completely. So, antashvas uparamat, and he took a breath, uparamat, and thus became silent, ceased breathing. So, we are eternally parts of Krishna, and the purpose and perfection of our life is to be integrated with Krishna as his parts, mamevamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. And at the present material level of reality where the embodied soul resides, the consciousness of the soul is primarily rooted through matter. So, while the soul has capacity for spiritual cognition, that capacity is largely not active. And our consciousness is rooted primarily through our body, through our senses. So, the process of bhakti involves offering our senses and or rather offering our consciousness to Krishna through the sensory pathways. Thus, we behold the form of Krishna, we speak about Krishna, we hear about Krishna, and thus we move closer to Him. So, this is what Bhishma Pitama has done at the He has done this in one sense throughout his life, but towards the concluding stage of his life, he is absorbing himself completely in Krishna. And by thus absorbing himself completely in Krishna, Manovag Drishti Vrittibhi Atmanya Atmanam. So, his mind, his speech, his eyes, in this way he offers his whole self to Krishna. The word Avesha actually means entering. Prabhupada translates here as merging. Here this merging is not a merging of beings, but it is a joining of consciousness, wherein the consciousness becomes filled with Krishna, becomes suffused with Krishna, and thus one enters into Krishna in an eternal rapture of love. So, whenever we see words like avishya or its English translation as merging, we might feel, does this refer to impersonalist kind of merging? Not necessarily. You have to understand that the words like avishya are not the monopoly of the Advaitins. Avesha is a standard Sanskrit word, and it is also, we have Shakti Avesha avatars. So Avesha basically means entering more than merging. And entering does not necessarily have to mean just like a person enters into a city. Then that does not mean that the person loses one's identity and individuality. Rather, that person who is outside the city has now come inside the city and then becomes a part of the broader community that is the city. So like that, Krishna is the Supreme Person, but Krishna is also not different from the spiritual world, which is beyond this material world. So to enter into the spiritual world, to enter into the spiritual reality, it does not necessarily have to mean entering into Krishna's being in the sense of merging. It can also mean entering into Krishna's personal abode, wherein one resides in an eternal ecstasy of love. The important point is that manovag drishti vritti bhi atmanya atmanam. In bhakti, the focus is on the flow of consciousness towards Krishna, and this flow keeps happening continuously, eternally, by His mercy, when we apply ourselves and absorb ourselves in the process of bhakti. Text 44. Sampadyamanam agyaya bhishmam brahmani nishkale sarve babhuste tushnim vayam sivadinatyaye. So dinatyaye, at the end of the day, vayam siva is birds. So vayam siva means like birds. So just like birds at the end of a day became silent, everybody became silent. Sampadyamanam agyaya. So sampadyamanam, having attained transcendence, having gone beyond material reality to spiritual reality, agyaya, knowing this. So agya is knowledge. So agyaya means to come to know about this. Bhishmam brahmani nishkale, that Bhishma had attained the nishkale, the unified, the unlimited, the non-differentiated spiritual reality, Brahman. Sarve babhuste tushnim. Sarva, they all became. Uktva tushnim babhuvah. This also verse also comes in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna spoke this babhu and became tushnim, shant, silent. So here also it is sarve babhuste tushnim. They all became silent, like birds at the end of a day. So all of them had been hearing Bhishma, and in one sense they had already been silent. But that silence was for the focus of attention on the words of Krishna, words of Bhishma, as he spoke his eulogies of Krishna. Now, if we consider the natural setting, there is always the chirping of birds that is heard in the background. And even if a person is in a dark place or in a close place where one may not see the position of the sun, one can know to some extent that the sun is setting when the birds become silent. So there is an intrinsic correlation between the physical sound of the chirping of the birds and the cosmic movements of cosmic alternations that cause the shifting of days and nights. Similarly, there was the reciprocity between the speaking of Bhishma and the hearing by others, so that when people are hearing attentively, there is one kind of silence. When they are hearing, someone speak attentively. But when there is no one speaking at all, at that time there is another kind of silence. So this was a silence which focused on taking in the reality that the great soul Bhishma has now departed. And it was this silence that was conveyed. And this was silent where they were taking in the reality, not just that Bhishma had departed from this world, but also they are taking in the reality that Bhishma, because of having been in such exalted consciousness, absorbed in Krishna, because of having departed in the presence of Krishna, that great soul Bhishma has not only departed from this world, but he has departed to the next world. So, once we understand that we are at our core, souls are spiritual, we focus not on the departure, we focus on the destination. So, if we have a relative who is leaving, we go to the airport to see them off. Now, naturally, that they are departing may cause us some sorrow because of separation from them. But if we know where they are going, we know they are going to their other relatives, where they are going to, or other loved ones, where they are going to be cared for, they are happy, then that focus consoles us. And we know that, oh, they'll be safe. Although there is some grief that we are not, that they are not with us, but still there is also the relief in knowing that they are going to a auspicious destination, a place where they will be loved and cared for. So like that, when we focus on, we look at life with a spiritual perspective, especially when we see another fellow spiritualist departing. Certainly, there is a sorrow that they are departing, but the focus is not so much on the act, on the moment of departure, but the focus is on the movement towards the destination. So, by that focus on the movement towards the destination, we can be enlivened even when we face something which is potentially distressing, like the departure of a person, a devotee from our midst. So that mood of celebration at the departure of Bhishma will become evident in the next verse. Forty-fifth text. Tatra dundubhayo nedur devamanavavaditah शशंशु साधवो राज्ञां खाटपेतुः पुष्पवृष्टयः. सो वंस पीपल एंड दर्शन एंड ऑडियंस हैव टेकन इन द रियलिटी दैट भीष्म हैज डिपार्टेड टू द स्पिरिचुअल अबोड, तत्र दुंदुभयो नेदुर, एट दैट टाइम दुंदुभयो ड्रम्स वेर साउंडेड. सो डेथ इज हियर इज नॉट जस्ट डिस्ट्रक्शन, डेथ इज सेलिब्रेशन. Because Bhishma has ascended to a higher destination. Devamanavavaditaha, that which was beaten by the Devatas and the Manavas. Shashamsu sadhavo ragyam So, sadhavo ragyam, these kings were like sadhus. They were saintly kings, like Rajarishis. Rajarishi is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita in 4.2 Evam Parampara Praptam. Imam Rajarishayo Vidus. Yudhishthir and his brothers and the assembled people, they were all Sadhavo Ragyam. And Khatapetu Pushpavrishtayaha. Khat. So from the sky, Akash, Petu fell, Pushpavrishtayaha. Flowers fell. So the showering of flowers is a way of celebrating something. So here what is being celebrated is the departure of Bhishma, and this is definitely an indication of the transcendental vision that the characters in the Bhagavatam have. Normally, the flower wreaths are offered to the deceased, that is in a mood of mourning. Whereas here, flowers are showered. So, the flowers are showered in a mood of celebration. And that celebratory mood is there because it's understood that Bhishma has attained an auspicious transcendental destination. Text 46. Tasya nirharanadini sam
परे तस्य भार्गव युधिष्ठिरः कारयित्वा मुहूर्तं दुःखितो अभवत्। तस्य निरहरण आदीनि, निरहरण द लास्ट राइट्स, द फ्यूनरल सेरेमनी एंड अदर राइट्स एसोसिएटेड विथ, संपरे तस्य भार्गव, संपरे तस्य विच इज डन फॉर द डेड बॉडी, द सोल इज डिपार्टेड, एट द सेम टाइम द बॉडी दैट वॉज द अबोड फॉर एन एग्जॉल्टेड सोल ऑल्सो नीड्स टू बी treated with due respect. Now actually, whether it is putting in a coffin and burying, or it is burning on a funeral pyre, usually in whatever religious tradition it is done with a mood of sobriety and respect. And just as in life, the way we treat a person, even physically, conveys whether we respect or disrespect that person. Similarly, the way we treat the dead body of a person also conveys our respectful or non-respectful attitude. So, for example, in the Ramayana, it is mentioned that Ravana had ordered that all the bodies of the dead Rakshasa just be tossed away into the rivers, into the ocean, so that the enemies would not be, and the Vanaras would not be able to see how many Rakshasas have died. And their morale would not be boasted. So this is a use and throw attitude, literally speaking. And it is horrible, pathetic. In today's, so the dead body, although it's understood the soul is departed from the body, still the body needs to be treated with due respect. Bhargava. So here, it is Sutta Goswami, they're addressing Shaunakrushi as a descendant of Bhrugu. Bhrugu is considered to be like the one of the progenitors of the Brahmanas, and most Brahmanas are considered to be the descendants of Bhrugu. So Bhargava, so Yudhishthira Karayitva, Yudhishthira performed those last rites, and then Muhurtam Dukhito Bhavat. Then while performing those last rites for some time, for a Muhurt, briefly, he was overcome by grief. So all grief is not necessarily a sign of ignorance. Some grief is also a sign of affection, and that affection can also be rooted in spiritual knowledge. So here, with this understanding of spiritual grieving, wherein Yudhishthira grieved not just because the person has died, but because now he was no longer having the association of that great soul, Bhishma, his dear grandfather, Yudhishthira grieved. So lamenting is considered to be negative, grieving is considered to be positive, and it is a natural human way to release pent-up emotions. Text 47. Tushtuhur munayo rishtaha krishnam tadguhya namabhi tataste krishna hrudaya स्वाश्रमान प्रययो पुनः तुष्टुवूर मुनयो रिष्टः। सो तुष्टुवूर सैटिस्फाइड, मुनयो सो द सेजेस वर सैटिस्फाइड, इन फैक्ट द रिष्टः दे वर जुबिलेंट। कृष्णं तद्गुह्य नामभि, कृष्णा गुह्य नामभि, विथ हिज कॉन्फिडेंशियल नेम्स, Tataste Krishna Rudayaha, thereafter holding Krishna in their hearts, remembering him within, Swashramam Prayayu Punaha, they went back to their ashramas. It is mentioned at the start of this chapter that the spiritual who's who of the universe had come here on the occasion of Bhishma's departure. They wanted to offer their respects to Bhishma, the departing soul. They wanted to be enriched with wisdom on hearing Bhishma's words, if Bhishma spoke anything. And they also wanted to be witness to the momentous occasion of a great soul departing from the world. and all that happened, as Bhishma, there were very sweet loving exchanges between Bhishma and the Pandavas, especially Yudhishthir. Then there was the oceanic wisdom that Bhishma gave from his arrow bed, and finally with intensely devotional prayers, Bhishma departed from the world in the presence of Krishna, absorbed in the remembrance of Krishna. So the whole event was in one sense a grand success, and therefore all the sages departed. Suppose some place they say there is a Cricket World Cup final in Melbourne, then people from India may go, if India is especially in the finals, they go there all the way to watch that cricket match, and suppose India wins over there, and they feel jubilant, and then when they go back to India satisfied. This is of course a mundane example, but the point that it illustrates is that if we go to, if travel a long distance to a particular place to behold something, and if that thing works out to be truly wonderful, then there is a sense of fulfillment and delight in having gone so far. So similar principle applies here. The sages are assembled from various parts, not just the world, but the universe. And what they saw exceeded what they expected. You know, they had come primarily to be there or to offer their respects and bear witness to Bhishma's departure. But they heard his oceanic instructions, they beheld his exalted devotion, and thus their own spiritual wisdom and their own faith in the process of spiritual absorption in Krishna, all that was enhanced, enriched, and thus they departed satisfied. Sva ashramam prayayuh puna. They went to their own ashrams. Text 48. Tato yudhishthiro gatva sahakrishno gajah vayam pitaram santvayam asa gandharim cha tapasvinim. Tato yudhishthiro gatva. Thereafter Yudhishthira went. Where did he go? Sahakrishno gajah vayam. He went with Krishna to Gajahavayam. So, Hastinapur Gajahava. The word Hastinapur refers to the fact that Hastinapur was such a... Hasti also means elephant. So, Hastinapur was such a prosperous and powerful kingdom that there were many, many elephants for the members of the... especially for the members of the royal family to ride aloft on. So, it is also called as Gajahavayam. The word Gaja, of course, as in Gajendra, refers to elephants. So they went there, Yudhishthira along with Krishna, Pitaram Santvayam Asa Pitaram. So here the word Pitaram, Pita normally is his father, but here it's used generically to refer to one in the father's generation, that is Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, after the death of Pandu, supposed to have acted like the surrogate father of the Pandavas, although he never offered them affection. He always was partial to Duryodhana and discriminatory against the Pandavas. Still, Yudhishthira treated Dhritarashtra with the respect due to a father, and that point is conveyed. He thought that, oh, for Dhritarashtra, Bhishma had been a constant presence in his life since his childhood. In one sense, you know, Dhritarashtra had known Bhishma as a prominent father figure in his life. Now he had been born through the semen coming from Vyasadeva. His father had already departed, and the father figure in his life had been Bhishma primarily. So Dhritarashtra had known Bhishma for a long time, longer than Yudhishthira also. And thus, Yudhishthira was conscious that the departure of Bhishma would be a cause of great grief for Dhritarashtra. So, practically everyone that Dhritarashtra had been close to, they had departed. His own 100 sons had departed. Other people in his generation had, in the war, had fallen. And now Bhishma, they all knew that he was going to die, but still the inevitability or the imminent nature of someone's death doesn't necessarily always shield one from the shock of the actual occurrence of death. So there has to be that sensitivity and respect and caring when somebody departs. So Yudhishthira went to Bhishma, to Dhritarashtra, to console him. Santavayam. And that culture of respectfulness is seen even in Krishna himself going there. Yudhishthira, I was suggesting that Krishna go. Yudhishthira is like in the position of the sun, so he is mentioned in the center. And Krishna is a close friend and relative and counselor, so he is also going there. And another significant usage that comes over here is Gandharin cha tapasvinim. So they went to console the father, their father figure, Dhritarashtra, and his wife Gandhari. So Gandhari's tapasya was her chastity. Now chastity is itself a challenge in this world, because everyone has desires, and especially if one feels that, you know, one can get a better spouse or one could have got a better partner, then the temptation to stray from one's vows of one's marriage, they can become much greater. So Gandhari had a visually impaired husband, and she was a princess, she was beautiful. She was, she could have won the hand of any of a able-bodied prince. And yet, once she had been married to Dhritarashtra, she had accepted that marriage as austerity. One measure of her austerity was that she had closed her own eyes. And putting a cloth around her eyes, she had tried to put herself in a position equal to her husband's, and that way, that had been her tapasya, to have eyes and to still choose voluntarily to not use them. This is a extraordinary level of austerity. That austerity, basic poverty, to be poor and then to eat simply is not really an austerity. It is a necessity. Usually austerity involves having the capacity to indulge and yet refusing to indulge, or having the capacity to do something and refusing to do it. So for Dhritarashtra, you know, he just didn't have eyes, so living without eyes was a necessity. But for Gandhari, living without eyes was an austerity that she chose. She had the capacity to see, and that is, she's called, although she was living in the royal palace, she's referred to here as Tapasvini, that she had performed the great austerity of giving up her vision so that she would not have a sense of superiority over her husband, and thus they could be a compatible couple. And while the specifics of this kind of sacrificial action can be discussed and even debated, the principle of marriage requiring spouses to come together so that there are no ego tussles that I am superior or you are superior. There is a harmonious balance between them. That principle is universal, and that principle needs to be applied for any marital relationship to be sustainable. So Gandhari had a difficult marriage, and that the fact that she had been lifelong faithful within that marriage is highlighted through the use of the word tapasvini to refer to her. Text 49. Pitra chanumato raja vasudevanumoditaham chakara rajyam dharmena pitra pitamaham vibhu. Pitra chanumato raja. Raja here refers to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He had been coronated, and with the blessings, under the guidance of, with his permission, pitra chanumato. So although he was now the king, Yudhishthira offered due respect to Dhritarashtra. Vasudevanumoditaha. And as he had been anumoditaha, confirmed, approved, appreciated by Vasudev Krishna, chakara rajyam dharmena, chakara, he executed rajyam, his royal duties, dharmena, in compliance with the principle of dharma, pitru pitamaham vibhu. Pitra pitamaham vibhu. So his illustrious grandfather, he came from a great dynasty, and his Pandu had ruled virtuously. Bhishma, who had been looking after most of the royal administrative work during Dhritarashtra's reign, he had also taken care of the citizens with dharmic care. So Yudhishthira, he continued that legacy of responsible, righteous rule in his when he was the king. This chapter began with Krishna deciding to stay at the request of Yudhishthira because he was lamenting, and Krishna deciding. Which chapter went on, say, after Krishna's own attempt to pacify Yudhishthira didn't work out, Krishna suggested that they go to Bhishma, and through Bhishma's words, Yudhishthira was pacified. So there is this circularity in the chapter. It begins with Yudhishthira's lamenting, "Oh, am I being adharmic in ruling this kingdom which is obtained by the spoils of blood?" And the chapter concludes with his recognizing the principles of dharma, for him, his dharma lay in taking care of those who were entrusted to his care, and his doing that responsibility righteously, virtuously. So the instructions of Bhishma, they are shown here in the conclusion of this chapter to have had the desired effect of restoring Yudhishthira's intelligence and re-establishing him on the path of dharma, as is royal duty required. Thank you.